एचडी स्मार्ट कास्ट।
यू आर लिसनिंग टू एन एचडी स्मार्ट कास्ट ओरिजिनल।
Welcome to Health Charcha, issued in public interest by Medtronic. I'm Deepti Ahuja, podcast producer at HT Smartcast and your podcast host and dost. In this show, we will discuss all of the burning health-related questions you, my dear listener, might have in mind. So, let's begin. The history of brain surgery dates further back than what you might have guessed, beginning from the ancient times with Inca, Hippocrates, and Galen, through the Renaissance and World Wars. Neurological procedures have been performed constantly throughout history. It is no surprise then that along with the resilience to get the procedures right, technology has also advanced to aid neurosurgeons of today to perform complex and often nearly impossible brain tumor surgeries. So how has neuronavigation, cranial robotics, evolved in the management of brain tumors, and how does that apply to you? We will find out in this episode. And for that, we have with us Dr. Manas Panigrahi, who is HOD Neurosurgery at KIMS Hospital, Hyderabad. Hi, Dr. Manas. How are you? Welcome to Health Charcha.
Hello, fine. How are you?
I'm good too. So, Dr. Manas, let's consider for this episode that surgery is the only way forward for a tumor at hand. And, you know, one opts to undergo the knife. Would it be correct to assume that the tumor will be successfully treated with the help of surgery?
The answer means it's not completely yes, but then it's not no. Most of the tumors need surgery. There are some research going on where people are trying to diagnose tumor without surgery. That is something called liquid biopsy, where people try to take blood or serum or brain fluid and then analyze some chemicals and then predict whether the person has a brain tumor or not. But then still it's a long way to go, but I'm sure in future we may not need surgery. But at the present, for diagnosing any tumor in the brain, we need to undergo a surgery. So surgery, whenever we plan surgery, we try to remove totally. If we remove totally, then the results are better. Many times it's not possible to remove totally if the tumor is in the deeper part of the brain, or if the tumor is in an area which is very critical, very important. Like if there are parts of the brain which are responsible for speaking, parts of the brain which are responsible for controlling your hand movement, leg movement. So yeah. If you have tumors in those parts, we take only a small piece of that and then send for testing. And then depending on whatever the biopsy report comes, no, grade 1, 2, 3, 4, then they need to go for chemotherapy or radiotherapy. So basically, surgery for brain tumors can be divided into like three types, mm-hmm. telling where we take a biopsy with a small hole, which is like 2 to 3 millimeter hole when it's in a critical structure. Second is where we remove half of it because partial removal, the aim is to reduce the size of the tumor so that the pressure in the brain comes down. Because in those cases, again, if you remove totally, then that can be detrimental to the patient. So here the aim is to reduce the size of tumor so the pressure comes down. And then when we give an adjuvant therapy, chemotherapy and radiotherapy, it works better on smaller tumors. And the third option is complete removal. So the ideal is complete removal or total excision. And it is customized to the particular patient.
Right. Interesting how different kinds of surgeries are also required to detect brain tumor, like you said, biopsy. Quite interesting, the different kind of surgeries that are involved. In fact, as a patient or a lay person, you wouldn't even think that there are so many different kinds of surgeries to help us detect the tumor, partially remove it, figure out it's malignant or whichever way. I guess it's very, very interesting to find that out. But could you tell us a little bit more about, you know, robotics or the robotic technology that is required in treating brain tumor? I'm assuming that tech in surgery has come a long way.
Yeah, it has come a long way because people are very apprehensive of surgery. Mm-hmm. People think that when you remove brain tumor, then they are bound to have some memory problem. They feel that they can become psychiatric or mad, they cannot walk or something. They lose their ability to write and lose that. But it's not true. Let me ask you a question that how much of brain do you think one needs to survive in day to day?
I had only read it once that you need like only about 10%, and that was also because of a movie. So I'm guessing that information is wrong.
Yeah, no, it's not wrong. It's right that for day-to-day living, we need only 10% of the brain. But then to excel in something, you need 100% of the brain. And just for survival, 10% is more than enough. So people who have brain tumors, they need not get afraid that if part of the tumor is removed, that they will lose something. Because what is removed is what is not normal. The brain tumor is not a normal and it doesn't have any function. People have problems because that abnormal, the tumor is pressing on the normal structures.
Right.
So if you remove that abnormal part, then they will become better. So people need not get apprehensive or afraid that removing tumor is not removing a part of brain, it is removing the abnormal part of the brain. So they will become better with surgery.
Right. And what about robotics? I'm guessing that is one side of things. You as, you know, a person's doctor, letting them know that, see, when I operate on your brain, these are the things that are going to happen and it will only help you improve your quality of life. That is one side of the story. But the other side of the story is also advancement in technology, right? So how does that happen? Like, what are the different kinds of technological advances in, you know, brain tumor surgeries that we can see today?
Yes, that is what is relevant technology, because when we open the brain, it is sometimes difficult to make out which part is an abnormal part of the brain, like a normal brain, which is abnormal, like the brain tumor. Sometimes it almost looks similar, the tumor and the brain. So when you open them, if we do not identify the tumor, then we might take out the normal brain and then patient can have problems later. So robotics helps us to identify which is abnormal, which is normal. Plus, when we plan to operate, as I told you, biopsy is done with a 2 millimeter hole. Now, with a 2 millimeter hole, we cannot see the brain. No? It is just a needle going in. So, how do we reach the tumor without opening it? It is something that, so we need some instrument where it will direct us to reach the area and without causing any damage. Because brain also has blood vessels. Suppose we put a needle and then it hits a blood vessel, then it can bleed and patient can have problems. So that is, so robotics and navigation tell us the safest track or the road to reach the tumor. The easy in a layman's language is how GPS is done.
Yeah.
So you need not be in Hyderabad to reach a place in Hyderabad. You can come to Hyderabad airport and reach my hospital with just a Google.
Yeah.
So similarly, in navigation, it works in the same concept like a global positioning system. So all the CTs, scans or MRI which is done for the patient before surgery is fed into the navigation machine. And then during surgery, we fix the head on the operating table. And then there are some optical lights. It's like they work like satellites. Mm-hmm. So we create like a universe inside the theater, where the head of the patient is like the earth, okay? And then we put optical sensors. They are like satellites. There are two satellites and the head is the earth. So like your Google map tells us each point, how to go from one point to the other point at the shortest distance with less of traffic. So in the theater, in the navigation tells us which part of the skull we have to enter and how to reach our target, the tumor, in the shortest and the safest trajectory. That is what called navigation.
That is one of the most beautiful ways in which someone has explained to me how to work my way around the brain. But thank you for that. It was very, very visual and it made a lot of sense. And now I understand how robotics plays a huge part, in brain surgeries. Makes a lot of sense. But I'm curious to know, how you prepare or what goes in before the surgeries. What happens? How do you prepare the, like you mentioned CT scans, you mentioned MRIs. So what goes on before you actually prep the patient for a surgery?
Yeah, as I explained to you, the surgery depends on where exactly is the tumor. And the tumor can be, there are parts of the brain which are not critical. As I told you, 10% of the brain is critical. I mean, we can survive with 10%. But then suppose the tumor is in an area which controls my near the speech area, then I need to know before surgery that what is the distance of the tumor from the speech area. So like on the, there's a part called Broca's area, which is on the left side of the brain. And if that part is affected, they can understand, but they cannot tell.
Ah, okay. So then what happens? Like, what do you do to figure out the connection between the tumor and the speech part?
Yeah. So before this navigation and robotics had come, earlier we used to do something called awake craniotomy, where we have to make a large opening of the brain and then stimulate each part of the brain with electrical current.
Right.
And see, and we tell, keep on telling the, suppose we are identifying the hand area. Then patient will be moving his hand. And then when we stimulate at that particular area, that movement will suddenly stop. So we have to physically identify which part of the brain is responsible for the function.
Right, right.
And that has to be done with the patient under local anesthesia. So it will, that it took longer procedure, and then you have to make a bigger opening also. But now we have technologies, special MRIs called functional MRI, where the MRI is done while the patient is moving his hand. Okay. Then some part of the brain will get lighted up.
Right.
Then we take a MRI when patient is moving his leg and then patient is speaking. So before surgery, we in the MRI, we know which part of the brain is responsible for what function. And because from the MRI, we also can know how far or how near is the tumor from these important areas. All this information is fed into the navigation system.
Right.
Like GPS. So that before surgery, we know in relation to tumor, where is the important functional area, where are the tracts. Tracts are the electrical current from the brain to the hand leg. So how are the tracts oriented? How are the blood vessels, how are the speech area, leg area? And then with the navigation, it tells us what is the trajectory, safe trajectory, and where exactly we have to make the opening. So that instead of making a large opening, we directly make a small, a targeted opening, smaller opening, and then you can reach the area. Navigation is something which is 10 years old technology. The robotic arm is a new technology where we don't have to manually do, when we use navigation, we have to use our own
hands
to keep on checking, no? Like driver, there is an indicator that we check, okay, this point is fine. It's like driving a car with a Google map or driverless car.
Got it. So that is how robotics comes in.
Robo is like a driverless.
So the then you don't have to do it manually.
Yeah, it automatically aligns to the safe path.
Right.
So then it points out that at this point you have to make a hole, we make the hole there.
Interesting. How keen. And I'm guessing it's making your life as easy as it is making the patient's life. And safe on top of everything else.
Yeah, and it's more comfortable, no? Comfortable. We use something with navigation, or something you use called stereotaxy. stereotaxy, like we have to fix a frame on the patient and then take the patient to the CT scan or MRI and do the scan with the frame and again bring back the patient to the theater and then go for surgery. So this used to take 2-3 hours extra. And then it's a little painful also, no, for the patient to go with the crown on his head.
Yes.
Yeah. But now with the robotics and neural navigation, we don't have to do that. Because all the CT and MRI which is done in any hospital, need not be in your hospital also, that is fed in the navigation with the auto-guide machine. And then that itself calculates and then everything is done in the theater under general anesthesia, so it's less painful. Mm-hmm. The duration of surgery comes down because the patient doesn't go to the CT or MR with the frame. So it reduces 50% time in the theater. So the theater time comes down, then the cost of treatment also will come down automatically.
Of course, absolutely. So, you know, you explained to us the basics of, you know, how robotics helps in surgeries. You explained the basics of neuronavigation. But there must be different kinds of surgeries when it comes to brain tumor, right? Along with different sizes and different areas in which the brain tumor is affecting our brain, there must be different surgeries as well. So could you just briefly, Dr. Manas, tell us a bit about those surgeries?
Yeah. So once we have the diagnosis, no, we know what kind of tumor it is. Like as I told you, the first option is total removal. That we have to make an opening of like a 7-centimeter, 8-centimeter hole in the brain to remove. Now there are other surgeries where you can do with a smaller hole also. Like endoscopy surgery, is called endoscopy, yes, where you make a hole of a 1 rupee coin or less than that. Mm-hmm. It is something like, in a general public, everybody knows about laparoscopic cholecystectomy.
Yeah.
Gall for gallstone. Yeah. People earlier used to open fully and take out gallstone, but now they make small holes and then do it. So similarly in the brain, the laparoscope in the brain is called neuroendoscopy. So you make a small hole of around 15 millimeter and place the endoscope, and then endoscope directly you can reach the tumor and take again biopsy and as well as remove if it's a smaller tumor, less than 2 centimeter, then it can be removed. But if it's more than 2 centimeter, then one has to do an open surgery. But there are some surgeries which can be done with 2 millimeter hole also. We need not make 14 millimeter.
Yeah.
So that, yeah. Suppose you have tumors which there are small tumors, many tumors in the brain, both on right side, left side. Usually it happens in cancer patients, where cancers in the other part of the body, they metastasize or they go to the brain. So when you have small tumors, many, then we don't make multiple big openings. We use smaller 2 millimeter holes and laser fiber is passed through that hole to the tumor.
So this is MRI laser ablation.
Laser ablation.
Yes.
So yeah, so that can be done. When you have many tumors, you can make many small 2 millimeter holes, place the laser fiber into the tumor and burn it. But all this needs no patients to be fit for anesthesia. So if they are not fit, like the patients who are elderly, who have hypertension, heart disease, diabetes, they're not fit for anesthesia. Then you have treatment which can be done without anesthesia. It's called radiosurgery. It's like gamma knife is there, where you don't make a hole also. So gamma knife, cyber knife or X knife. So that is for patients who are not fit for anesthesia. So you have surgeries ranging from without touching the skull only, no hole, to 2 millimeter hole, to 2 centimeter, to 5 to 8 centimeter hole. That all depends, customized to the particular patient.
Right. And it seems like out of all of this, the minimal invasive, I mean, of course, there is one without any invasion, but the minimally invasive would be the MRI guided laser ablation, right?
Yes, yes.
And so how does that, advantage the patient? Of course, apart from being minimally invasive, are there other advantages of that technique?
The greatest advantage is it can be done for multiple tumors, you know, because many times in so-called advanced cancer, you have metastases which are not one tumor. They'll have 4, 5, 6 and in different parts of the brain. So when you do a laser ablation, you can do multiple small holes and ablate those tumors.
Guessing this would also cause less pain. It would also give a faster recovery time, is it?
Yeah, they go from the hospital in one day only. They don't have to stay for more than a day.
Wow. Yes.
But this is something I don't think India is, they're trying to get it to India. It is not approved in India to be imported. Mm-hmm. It is available in US, Europe. They are waiting for that technology to come to India.
Okay. Until then, we have neuroendoscopy, right?
Yes, we have neuroendoscopy.
Awesome. I'm so happy that I guessed that right. tell me one thing. You know, you've spoken about regular surgeries, and you've spoken about how, initially you used to do things manually, and now you have robotics to help you with things. But how does neuroendoscopy work?
Yeah, neuroendoscopy, it works in two ways. One is, if you have a tumor, one way of is making a hole, as I explained, that you make a hole
yes.
of 2 centimeters and do that if it's the tumor is in the upper part of the brain.
Mm.
But if the tumor is in the central part of the brain, then we can use the natural holes to do the surgery. Like, we can go through the nostril here.
Mm. Okay.
So the natural holes for the nose, or sometimes the mouth, and then go directly to the center of the brain. If you go through the end of the nose is the center of the brain, where you have bones which are soft. From our knowledge, we know which part of the bone is softer. So we make an opening there and then remove the tumor. The commonest tumor which is removed through the nose is a tumor of the pituitary gland.
Right. Yeah. And for my listener who's listening to this episode, we've spoken about this kind of tumor in episode 1. So in case someone wants to go and listen to it, you're most welcome to go to episode 1 of the brain tumor series on Health Chacha. Go ahead, doctor.
So using the natural hole, no? So there is no opening outside. So at the end of the surgery, your patient may not look that he had a surgery. He or she had a surgery, and then they can go home in 2 to 3 days. But sometimes when some of the patients, the nose inside, the anatomy is lost, then it's difficult to make out where to make the hole.
Hmm.
Normally, we know where exactly the bone is thin, we make a hole. But sometimes it is not possible. Or some patient who has come with a regrowth, then the normal anatomy is lost. Then we use navigation along with the endoscope. So again, here the navigation, the robot will help us how to enter at which part of the central part behind the nose, no? Where exactly to enter in a safe way. Because nice. At that point, you have the major blood vessels of the brain which supply to the circulation. So if you we miss the vein, then you might damage that and cause problems.
Right.
In that case, navigation will be very helpful along with the endoscopy.
Thank you so much, Dr. Manas, for your time, for explaining things to us in such a simple manner and yet so visually rich manner. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I must say that all this is really fascinating, that neurosurgery seems to have come a long way from being next to impossible and deadly dangerous. It is certainly reassuring to know that not only are the doctors on our side, but so is technology, innovation and advancement in neurosurgery. It is increasing, definitely increasing, our odds to survive brain tumors. This is a public awareness initiative supported by Medtronic. Views expressed are independent views of Dr. Manas Panigrahi, intended for general information and educational purposes only. They do not constitute any medical advice. Please consult your physician for any questions or concerns you may have regarding your condition. The doctor makes no recommendations or endorsements of any products or services. That's it for this episode on Health Chacha. If you want to know more about the diseases discussed in this podcast, please initiate a discussion with your physician. To stay updated on this podcast, follow at HT Smartcast on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. To listen to more such podcasts, log on to htsmartcast.com or suno Naye Nazariye Se.
This was an HT Smartcast original.
HD Smartcast.